had to, I know some of you may have to make adjustments to your schedules in order to gather this evening for this special candlelight service and also a countdown to Christmas. Story is told of a wife who was chatting with her newlywed husband. And you know, she put out all her charm and he said to him, "You know, my dearest, I have something very important to tell you. You know, very soon there's going to be three of us in this home." And so the husband was overjoyed, right? The husband was like, wow, thinking that she has conceived and is expecting. And so he responded with joy, "Oh, my dear, this is such wonderful news. I will go and get the extra room ready then." And his wife said, "You know, I'm so glad that you are happy with this. My mom said that she'll be moving in next January." Okay. Oh, sweat. Okay. You know, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was a little bit like this. God turned up, but the Jews mistook him for someone else. The Jews were told of a coming Savior. They knew that there was going to be a coming Savior, a Messiah who would come to deliver them from their enemies and to bring in an era of peace and prosperity, a kingdom whose reign knows no end. But when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him as Messiah because they didn't expect him to be born in insignificant Bethlehem and in an insignificant family, a carpenter's family. Even though Jesus had made it very clear to them in subsequent ministry that he was the Messiah that the prophets had spoken about, yet they chose not to believe him and instead rejected him and crucified him. But there were some who believed. Amongst them were these shepherds out in the fields. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Ah, okay, that's the one. For I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, during that time, visions of angels were rare. And there seemed to have been that 400 years of silence leading up to this time in Luke chapter 2. And there were no prophets speaking in the land of Israel. There were no significant manifestations of God or of angels during that whole period. At least, we don't see it in the records. And the last prophet that was recorded was of the prophet Malachi. That was about 420 BC. And so what that means is that this would have been the first time in their lives that these shepherds are witnessing for themselves the manifestation of angels, the appearance of angels before them. And so that explains their astonishments and their great fear when the angels appeared before them. But what was this good news of great joy that the angels delivered to the shepherds? It wasn't that, you know, they had struck the lottery and they don't need to work anymore. You know, that they will live in luxury for the rest of their lives. That would have been good news to us, right? It wasn't that the Roman Empire has collapsed, you know, and that Jerusalem is now freed from their Roman rule. It wasn't all that. But the good news of great joy was that the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, was born. Well, these shepherds may not have been very educated, not so knowledgeable, but they knew. They knew about King David, and they knew about God's promise to King David of a Messiah and one who will reign, whose throne and whose rule will never end. These were Jews whose hearts were inclined towards the things of God. And they knew that the scriptures had foretold of a coming Savior, a Messiah who would come for them, who would usher in the kingdom of heaven. You know, for a long time, the Jews lived under the harsh reign of the Roman Empire, and the Romans ruled with an iron fist. They were cruel rulers. So they exacted heavy taxes on the citizens, and they exploited the poor, and there was great inequality of wealth and status among the people. Common people, common folks could be captured and sold as slaves, and they would have been deprived of basic human dignity as they served the Roman masters and households. And so by all counts, it was actually a terrible time to live if you were not a Roman citizen. You know, I can imagine many during that time, especially the Jews, would have wondered where God was during that time. Many would have cried out for God's deliverance over that those years of suffering. Many might have felt that God was silent. But God was, in fact, actively working out his plans for salvation of the world through Jesus Christ. It was through this terrible reign of the Roman Empire that God showed mankind what love and compassion looks like. When Jesus taught about what the kingdom of God was like, people saw the great contrasting difference between the failings of a human kingdom and the possibilities of the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus taught about. God allowed the Jews to be subjected to the Roman Empire during that time, for a time, so that they will know and receive God's love for them. Story is told of two ladies who got together for a meal, and they were talking about all the problems that they had been facing recently and all the how tough life was. And so the first lady said, when everything seems so overwhelming, when life gets really tough, I take out my wallet with a picture of my husband and I tell myself there is no problem so big that we cannot go through together. You know, and it always makes me feel better, more hopeful for the future. The second lady said, oh yes, I do the same thing too. You know, when it gets so overwhelming and life gets so tough, I take out my wallet with a picture of my husband and I tell myself, what problem can there be that is bigger than this problem? You know, my friends, as we come to the end of this year, no matter how difficult a year it has been, no matter how problematic the world seems, no matter how many problems or how big the problems you have in your life this past year, know this, my friends, that you can face them because there is a God who has come to turn things around. A God who loves you. A God who wants you to overcome these difficulties you are facing in life. A God who wants you to experience his peace and his joy. There is a God who is greater than any problem you face. And not only that, not only is he here to help you overcome your problem, he is also here to show you the better way, to show you his plan for your life, a plan not to harm you, but to prosper you, a plan to give you hope and a future. And so each time we remember Christmas, whether you see a Christmas tree or receive a Christmas present or eat a Christmas dinner of turkey or ham, remember Christmas is about Christ coming for us to save us and to show us a better plan, a better future, a future with him in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Christmas is about. Secondly, not only is the birth of Christ good news of great joy, something to be celebrated. Right? The book of Titus in our New Testament reading also tells us something else about what Jesus has done. Book of Titus chapter 3 says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus not only brought the true knowledge of the kingdom of God to mankind during the time that he lived and walked with the Jews in the first century, but also through his death, he made it possible for the Spirit of God to dwell amongst mankind, to dwell in men. And it was through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in men that enabled the early Christians to be able to love one another the way that they did in Scripture, sharing their possessions with those who had need, looking to the interests of the down and out, reaching out to the outcasts and the poor, restoring the broken. Something which the people of during that time don't do. They look down on the weak and they align themselves with the strong and the rich. But the Christians did something very different. God's heart of love and compassion drove the early Christians to be involved in selfless giving and in empowering the poor. And so through the years, Many of today's charitable organizations actually were established by Christians who were following Jesus. The Red Cross, Salvation Army, World Relief, World Vision, Compassion International, Food for the Hungry, many, many others. It was also the Christians who pushed for education and established today's premier schools like Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. They all had very Christian beginnings. Started as schools to train ministers and pastors to know God's word deeper and to be able to teach it to others. Many of the early scientists and philosophers were also informed by their faith in God and the scriptures as they made discoveries about the world that God has made. Nicholas Copernicus, the mathematician, right, the astronomer who formulated the model of the universe that placed the sun in the center of the universe rather than the earth, which was what the people in the early days had thought, right, that the sun went around the earth. But he looked at scripture and he sought the Lord and he did his scientific research and he realized how God has really created the earth. René Descartes, the scientist and philosopher who has been called the father of modern philosophy, known for his famous, "I think, therefore I am." Right? Blaise Pascal, the mathematician, physicist, inventor who made important contributions to the world of the natural and applied sciences. And of course, there are others like Robert Boyle in chemistry, who came out with Boyle's Law, Michael Faraday in physics, that came out the Faraday's cage, right, the electromagnetism, Gregor Mendel in genetics, Max Planck in quantum physics, right, in Planck's constant and Planck's law and things like that. Okay, not to mention Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, all of them accomplished in what they do. They were devout believers, followers of God, and some of them were even theologians themselves who were actually teaching about the Christian faith through their many other writings. You see, these were all transformed by that little baby that was born on Christmas Day. Jesus made all the difference in the history of mankind. You see, God's kingdom is not just about churches. It is about the transformation of the world. It is about God enabling mankind to live a life of flourishing that he had intended and had planned for us. That is why Jesus came. John 10:10, Jesus told his disciples, "I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." That they may have life and have it abundantly. You see, God did not just control the destinies of the world from afar or direct the affairs of men from heaven, far removed from the realities of what happened here on earth. But he came amongst us. He lived amongst us. He lived as a man, grew up as a commoner, experienced hunger, experienced the joys and the pain of human relationships, being caught up in the politics of his day, being betrayed and abandoned by those he loved. He went through all that and he overcame them. And even though it was difficult, he offered himself to die on all our behalf so that in being crucified and dying, he descended into death in order to overcome death and to conquer it once and for all. And my friends, when he rose again from the dead, he rose as a victor. He rose as a victor over death. And so scripture tells us death could not hold him in his power. God could not hold him. Death could not hold him because the power of God is greater than death itself. And so Jesus is able to offer to all who overcomes. Jesus says, "I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." In Revelation chapter 3, my friends, when we receive Jesus into our lives, he gives us the Holy Spirit of God, which will empower us, regenerate and renew our inner beings, and enable us to live as overcomers in this life and in the life to come. What then is our response? Are we willing to walk life's journey with him? To live this abundant life that Jesus had come to give by living our lives according to the ways of the kingdom of heaven? My friends, when we do so, not only will we live the transformed life that the Bible talks about, the life of one who overcomes the world, but in addition to that, God also says that he will one day reward us for all that we do in him and for him. You see, in the Old Testament reading today, in Isaiah's prophecy, he says, "Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him." And that is my third point, reward and recompense. You see, make no mistake, my friends. When Jesus returns, sometime in the future, when he returns, just as he has promised, he not only comes with judgment against the evildoers and the lawless ones, those who love evil more than good, those who oppose and rebel against God, but he also comes to reward those who have persevered in their faith, who have persevered and lived according to the kingdom of God, those who have loved him and trusted in him. God will come for those who had invested their lives in the things of the kingdom of heaven. And there will be treasures in heaven in store for them. A farmer and his wife, I don't have the picture of the farmer, never mind. Okay. A farmer and his wife went to a fair one day, and they were fascinated by this airplane ride that it offered. But he was not willing to fork out the $100 for the airplane ride. And so the pilot offered him a deal. He says, "You know, this is such a fun ride. You must try it. Tell you what, if you and your wife don't enjoy the ride, you finish the whole ride without screaming in delight, without making a single sound, I will give you a full refund." He said, "Wow, okay." With this incentive, the farmer was convinced, decided to give it a go. And so they went onto the ride. After the ride, they were almost back when the pilot said, "You know, wow, I can't believe it. You really didn't make any sound at all from the back. You know, not even when I did the double helix and the 360 loop, you know." And the farmer said, "Yeah, you know, it wasn't easy. I almost yelled when my wife fell out back there." You know, it takes a lot of discipline and self-control, doesn't it? It takes a lot of discipline and self-control to be able to keep to those conditions, right, in order to be able to claim his reward. And likewise, God has put certain conditions for us in order to be saved from our sins, in order to be able to be with him in the coming kingdom. God's heart is to bless us, but we must make that decision to want to come into the kingdom of heaven, in order to benefit from kingdom blessings. And this is where this verse comes in Romans chapter 10. He says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses and is saved." My friends, the book of Romans teaches us that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And we first need to acknowledge that we have fallen short, that we are sinful, we are not able to get to heaven on our own, no matter how much we try. But if we truly believe and repent of our sins, God will forgive us, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's God's promise to us in the scriptures. We need to respond to God. If we want to receive his salvation, if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, we need to respond positively to his invitation and his conditions. You see, when the first message of Christmas went out to the shepherds, right, in Luke chapter 2, it also went out to them with an invitation. It was not just an announcement, but it also came with an invitation. Not only were they told about the birth of the Savior in the city of David, but they were given specific signs. They were told, "You will find this You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. It was an invitation for them to go and see. Did they? Would you, if you were there receiving this news? The shepherds responded with excitement, and they went immediately to see what the angels had told them about, and they were blessed. They were the first guests and visitors of the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of the world. You see, when God reveals His word to us, He often waits for a response from us. We can choose to respond and to participate in what God has for us, or we can choose to ignore it. If the shepherds had continued as they were, if they had heard the news and they hadn't responded to go to see Jesus in the manger, you know, their lives would have remained unchanged. They would have continued shepherding their sheep out there in the fields, and they might never have heard of the coming of Jesus. But Jesus will still be born. He will still grow up to astound the teachers of the law in the synagogues with His wisdom. He will still perform the mighty miracles. He will still teach powerfully about the kingdom of heaven. And He will still give of Himself as a sacrifice for mankind. God's plans will still proceed. But the shepherds would have missed it all. They would have failed to witness for themselves God's providence, God's answer to the problems of mankind. They would not have participated in the salvation that God has offered to everyone. Now, if we don't respond to what is before us, the world passes by. It doesn't wait for us. Time doesn't stop ticking. When we delay our response, we forfeit our opportunities. How do you want to respond to God this Christmas? You know, you may have heard of this Christmas story many times before, but each time you hear it, you stood at the side and you celebrate it, but you let it pass. But today, if something is telling you that you need to do something about it, something is telling you that you need to respond to God today, to receive His love, not just to hear the message, but to respond to it, to be part of this salvation story, this great story that God is weaving through history, to experience what God has for you, the abundant life that He has promised, a life that is regenerate and renewed, a life that can be transformed into the image of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit, to be like Him, to be restored back to Him, to be in a position to receive God's blessing when He returns, His rewards and recompense that He is just waiting to give to all who follow Him, to all who follow Him faithfully and follow His ways faithfully here on earth. My friends, would you respond to Him today? Let us pray. Yes, Lord, we thank You for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, birth as a little baby, so that He may experience all that we experience. Thank You for being a God who understands what we go through in life, the good and the bad, the pain, the difficulties. Jesus went through it all, and He came out victorious. He showed us that there is a way, a better way to live this life. And not only that, He has paved the way for us to be able to do so. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You know, my friends, some of you may still be living lives that are not tapping into the power of God in your lives. Maybe you have heard this gospel story many times over, but you have not really entered into the story and allow God to enter into your life. Would you do that this evening? If something is speaking to you and you're saying, I want to live a life like that, like the early Christians, how they live their lives, how they fulfill their lives' potentials, how they transform the world by the way they live, the discoveries they made as they give of themselves, as they responded to the calling you have given them to live a different life. My friends, if you are saying, I want also to live that kind of life that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we may be transformed from within, that God can use us to transform and impact the world. Christmas is about this. If this is your desire, just invite you to open your hands to receive. In a posture of receiving God's love, receiving the Holy Spirit of God and His empowerment. Yes, Lord, you see our hearts. We don't want to go on living life as if everything is the same. Because the birth of a baby Jesus, changed the world, changed everything we understand about the world. A baby who said that he came so that we may have life and have it to the full. Lord, help us to be able to live this life, that abundant life, life to the full, the flourishing life that you have intended for us. This is our desire, Lord. Lord, I pray for every heart here that is open to you, every hand here that is lifted to you, with palms open, bless them. Bless them richly. Help them to follow your ways so that they may be able to receive your kingdom blessings, that they may be able to follow your plans that you have for them, plans to prosper them, plans to give them hope and a future. And grant that, Lord, their lives will be transformed each and every day because they have chosen to follow you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you see our hearts, you hear our prayers. And we pray, Lord, for you to come and fill our hearts so that Christmas will make that after today, our lives will be transformed just as the early Christians' lives were transformed. As if Christ was here today. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We know that you came on that Christmas day in order that we might be blessed, in order that we might live transformed lives. Friends, if this is your prayer, your desire, at the end of the service, look for a pastoral staff or somebody you trust and just share that with the person and pray a prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord don't want you to walk out of this hall the same. But each time you draw near, the Lord wants to empower you, transform you, enable you to be an overcomer. Lord, for all this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Indeed, we want to thank God for Jesus. Yes, we are going to prepare our hearts.